thanks to everyone for sticking around. And I think the best part about going last is that everyone's really relieved when it's finally my turn. I'd like to first acknowledge my fellow OHIP intern Kim Lopez from Cornell, and also the Service Employees International Union Local 1000 in Northern California, who was our community partner for our project on workplace violence and barriers to effective reporting of assault at Napa State Hospital. I have no disclosures. So I just wanted to get a quick poll and see how many of you have been wine tasting in Napa Valley. So a lot of you. So I think you agree with me that it's a very beautiful part of the country. But you might not have known that just across the highway, there's also the site of one of California's state mental health hospitals, which holds some patients that have been accused of dangerous crimes. And that's what we were looking at this summer. Workplace violence in mental health institutions has been an increasingly severe issue, but it was most recently brought to the public's attention by the murder of Donna Gross just over a year ago, who was strangled by a patient at Napa State Hospital. And so in response, SEIU investigated, and in Napa State Hospital in 2009 alone, there were over 1,500 crimes, and 65% of employees who had been surveyed said they had been attacked on the job. So SEIU and the other unions that represent the employees there joined forces to form the Safety Now Coalition to push for better working conditions in all hospitals across the state. The objective for our summer was to evaluate the effectiveness of reporting procedures for assault at Napa State Hospital and to use our findings to benefit the Safety Now Coalition. And also on a personal note, to learn skills and attitudes from the field of occupational health, specifically qualitative research skills, and to understand safety issues from a worker's perspective. So workplace violence is a very complex issue, but we focus on reporting as a critical starting point, and actually I think Gaspar and Sonia talked a little bit about reporting as well. SEIU in their investigation found that underreporting is very serious at Napa State Hospital. They said that no official record captures the true scope of violence. And why is reporting important? Because first, it allows us to track patterns in patient behavior so that we can give them an adequate treatment plan and prevent escalation to more serious incidences in the future. Donna Gross's murderer had a history of bad behavior that went unnoticed or unresponded to before the incident. And also to be able to track data on a system-wide level and implement corrective policies. And I couldn't have said it better than this one employee who told us, if you don't document it, it didn't happen. So many shifts, so many people, details get lost in the mix. This research was a community-based project. We partnered closely with SEIU, and we also had key informants to develop the idea for the project. And that's part of the reason why we focused on reporting. And we also conducted interviews on hospital grounds or on the phone, and they lasted about 30 minutes. We spoke to 57 employees, and we started off by asking them, have you ever been assaulted at Napa State Hospital by a patient? And 75% responded yes, which is pretty high. But then we probed further and found that if we asked them about other things, a light punch or verbal assaults, these kinds of things were very common. People reported getting threatened, such as, well, you know what we can do to staff. When I get out of here, I'm going to murder you. So, actually, I was at the OHS luncheon banquet, and I know this is a very interactive group, so I just want to see if you can guess how many people have been assaulted if we include verbal assaults and all kinds of assaults. Just shout out a number. 91%, very close to 100. This is a very serious issue, and in addition to this data, we heard some very horrifying stories. This is a former psychiatric technician who said, the next thing I knew, I was just seeing stars, just like in the cartoon. It just goes black. He hit me in the mouth, fractured one of my teeth straight up the middle, and dislocated my jaw. I passed out. And in fact, this psych tech had to switch professions due to post-traumatic stress disorder from the assault and now works as an office assistant. So we found that there were a lot of assaults going on, but how many of them were being reported? And if we just ask that, we see 77% is reported, which is pretty good, right? But actually, how are they getting reported is the more important question. Most of these are being documented in the chart as a note or just verbally to a superior. And both of these methods have very limited impact and can be easily overlooked. And actually, the hospital policy requires that any kind of assault be written down in the incident management system, which is a computerized system that can track system-wide data. And only 17% of assaults were getting documented through this method. In addition to these methods, there are a number of other routes, the OCC Health Clinic, workers' comp, the police. Depending on the nature and severity, you report it to many different things with many different associated paperwork. So you can see this is a very complex and confusing system to navigate. In fact, on average, each assault had to be reported through four different methods and took over 2 days to complete. Reporting also differed by the type of assault. So bites, hits, and kicks, 80% of our interviewees had experienced them, but 69% had reported them, which is pretty good. But if you look at other things which our interviewees thought were considered more minor, such as verbal and sexual harassment, spitting, pushing, only 50% of those assaults would be reported. So what were the major barriers to reporting? Like I just said, most people thought that something was too minor and not worthwhile to be reported. Another major barrier was that the paperwork was too time-consuming and they were already overburdened with patient care duties. And finally, that they thought their reporting wouldn't have any impact anyway in terms of patient consequences for bad behavior, and also the management wouldn't do anything to correct the problem. So in conclusion, we identified some of the main problems with the reporting system, and I'm going to present some of my recommendations. First, it's a disjointed and time-consuming system, and we recommend, one, that the system be made more streamlined, consolidated, and consistent so that people don't have to write the same thing twice in multiple forms. Second, that we shift responsibilities from the already overworked care staff to non-care staff. And third, that any of these reforms must balance the priorities between increasing reporting and decreasing the work burden for the staff. And two other barriers were the perceived insignificance of the assault and that there was no visible impact to reporting. So we think that they should increase transparency about assault frequency so that the data is actually communicated to the staff and they're more aware of the risks in their work environment. And we hope that this will be able to change the norms about what gets reported as people see that verbal assaults should be reported. And they'll also see a direct impact to their actions. And so we wanted to contribute to the Safety Now campaign, but workers don't have time to read the 40-page report that we put out. So we made this 2-page fact sheet and distributed to employees and also key legislators. So on a personal level, I had a really great experience with OHIP this summer. I learned a lot of valuable research, fieldwork, and community-based research skills. Also, I am a first-year medical student, and I definitely think that I'll be able to carry on the attitudes that I learned with me into my career because I've realized that your occupation plays such a large role in your life and on your health. And finally, above all, I'm definitely going to carry the experiences and interactions I had with the employees there because I realize that they are so brave to have to go to work and risk their lives every day to care for the mentally ill. But then at the same time, they have to risk their jobs just to fight for good safety conditions at work. So I think I speak on behalf of all my fellow presenters and the other OHIP interns when I say thank you for coming out to support us, and thank you to all those who made our work possible.
That was awesome. Good job, you guys. We have about 20 minutes, give or take, for Q&A, so I want everyone to have the opportunity to ask the panel some questions. So go ahead, Mary.
My name is Mary Miller, and my question is for Chris Kella. It comes from a personal experience. My brother had schizophrenia, was in a state hospital for a little while, and he wasn't in any aggressive state, but they put him in torpor restraints, not because he was in, he's just a big guy, and maybe short staff. When I asked the nurse what's going on, it's more because I'm short staff. And so then when we did a study on state hospitals in Washington State, I was very adamant that we look at, well, what are the conditions for patients that contribute to anxiety and their problems? They don't get to go outside and smoke when they need to, or, you know, there are conditions inside that contribute to the patient's issues. And it's not just staffing, it's policies around the organization where they're living in. I would go nuts myself, frankly, if I was thrown in with a group of people that, you know, you were constrained in the way that you are in that environment. So did you interact at all with the patients, their families, and advocates about just how things are organized that might contribute to some of the violence?
We mostly did not get a chance to interact with the patients because we weren't allowed on the ground. But it definitely, like you said, it definitely is a really complex problem. There are a lot of deeper root causes that contribute to violence, and a lot of the priorities between improving staff safety and improving the experience of the patients sometimes can conflict, but sometimes go hand in hand. One of the biggest issues they're pushing for is improved staffing, which would both improve staff safety and improve treatment for the patients. But that is a really large issue that requires a lot of funding and longer term work. And I definitely want to recognize that. And we were looking at reporting as just a very, not a quick thing, but something to start off of.
The other question for Crystal, did you look at the ocean? I know the ocean 300 logs the trigger is anything more the first stage, but did you also look at the OSHA 300 logs at all?
Yeah, we did look at the OSHA 300 logs. Ultimately, we decided that that wasn't the important source of reporting we wanted to look at because those were mostly filled out by supervisors, and we wanted to look at employees on the floor level and how they were reporting.
Were you at least able to show that there was like massive under reporting not in the OSHA 300 logs or no? Did you do any comparison? No?
We looked at it a little bit because we were comparing our interview results with the 300 logs, and definitely only the most serious level of assault would get reported.